Turn with me to the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 18, and that is page 1194. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the subject this morning is Jesus giving thanks. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord, the one who is the Creator with the Father and the Spirit of heaven and earth, shows us actually the perfect way of thanksgiving. And at this Thanksgiving weekend, I want to particularly look at the example that our Savior gives us to follow for giving thanksgiving to our Father in heaven. What better example could we have than that given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ as a perfect man while here upon earth giving thanks to His Father in heaven? Our text says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And it is this Christ-centered focus I want us to look at indeed this morning. And in considering the example of Jesus giving thanks, we will be looking at four examples in which our Lord specifically gave thanks to his Father in heaven. And I hope this message will provide encouragement to us for the all-important ministry of giving thanks unto God. We do need to be a people who give thanks. Give thanks unto God. First of all, then, I want us to notice how Jesus gave thanks for the sovereign grace of the Father. For the sovereign grace of the Father. If you will turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, the first thing we can notice here about the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus is this element of praise. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. As the perfect man here upon earth, he gives thanks in praise to his eternal Father in heaven as the God of heaven and earth, the Lord of heaven and earth. And we can see a similar pattern to this in what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. You remember how the Lord Jesus said to us, pray like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So directly there is this element of praise in prayer, a direction and desire to bring praise and glory to the Father's name in thanksgiving, right at the very outset. And therefore we learn first of all this morning that following the example of Jesus in giving thanks, it must always begin with praise. Praise to God, our Heavenly Father. And in first praising here, the authority of the Father as Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus then lays down the foundation of his thanksgiving. What was the particular thing the Lord Jesus here was thanking his Father for? He's praised him as the Lord, Father and Lord of heaven and earth. He's given praise to him. But now he lays down the heart of his thanksgiving here. It is thanksgiving which is centered upon the sovereign grace of God. The sovereign grace of God. Jesus is praising God the Father that in his sovereignty he hides and he reveals. He hides and he reveals. He hides himself from those who are convinced that acceptance with God is through wisdom and capability. He hides himself from you this morning. If you think that by your good works you can obtain salvation, that by your works and your philosophy and by your good deeds and the sort of person you are, that you will gain acceptance with God. These are the wise and the so-called prudent that do things their own way, thinking they are right. Prudent in their own way. He actually hides himself if you're in that spirit this morning. But who does he reveal himself to? Who does the Father reveal himself to through the person of Jesus Christ in the gospel? He reveals himself to babes. That is, those that are willing to come to God just as a little baby. Now, we've had the blessing of a little baby being born this week to a family in our midst. And that little baby is totally dependent upon its mother. Absolutely, totally. And that's how we must come to God. We don't come in our own wisdom. We don't come in our own strength. We don't come in our own goodness. But we come depending upon the mercy and grace of God the Father to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The babes. An expression that signifies total dependence this morning. Oh, Father, Jesus thanks God for this. He praises God for this. Because it's so wonderful to think that we don't have to be wise and be so big about ourselves. That actually hinders our approach to God. It's not about image. It's not about presenting yourself as the very person God should accept. It's rather about humbling yourself, going down on your knees, and confessing that you are a sinner before God, and pleading the very person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we spoke yesterday about how the Lord Jesus taught about his death through creation, explaining how the corn of wheat must go into the ground and die before it brings fruit. Otherwise it abides alone. And Christ redeemed the church through his suffering, through his death upon Calvary's cross. And for us there is a picture also, because we have to die to the old way. We have to die to all our own pride, all our own philosophy, all our works, all our so-called righteousness. And we die to all that in our repentance. And we come as a little baby. And then as we come and we are, as it were, buried with Christ, when we identify with Christ crucified, and then we rise with him through his resurrection life, then we have spiritual fruit. We have blessing. We have fruit in him. Oh, friends, there's such a truth there for us. So Jesus gives thanks for God's sovereign grace, which actually rejects independence and accepts dependence on him. This unique sovereign grace, which extends to those who understand their need of salvation as babies, trusting in their Father in heaven. This thanksgiving for sovereign grace is reaffirmed verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Son reveals the Father to us as we come and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see then the thanksgiving that the Lord Jesus Christ has given for sovereign grace, the wonderful grace of God to those that come to him in total dependence. So we see also here, friends, for your encouragement, that Jesus, the supreme teacher, demonstrates that God's sovereign grace is in total harmony with the gracious invitation of the gospel. Because having thanked God for his sovereign grace, the God that hides and the God that reveals, He then immediately follows by saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, God's sovereign grace is in perfect harmony with the gracious invitation of the gospel to needy sinners. And the second point we can see here in the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus to his Father is that he places more emphasis on the sovereign grace of the Father in the gospel than on amazing signs and wonders. And this is quite an important point for us in the history of the church in this day and age in which we live. We read of the 70 disciples returning unto the Lord after a period of ministry, and it was undoubtedly incredibly powerful ministry that under God that they had been able to minister. But the Lord Jesus said to them, after he'd heard their testimony of all these amazing things that were going on, he said, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And that's where we come in this morning. Are your names written in heaven? Have you come like a little baby unto the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your trust only in him and your name is written in heaven? The sovereign grace of God has saved you and you are one of his children. Oh, wonderful subject, the sovereign grace of God. And the Lord Jesus places so much emphasis in thanksgiving on sovereign grace. Sovereign grace, the hymn writer said, "O'er sin abounding, ransom souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding. Who its length or breadth can tell? On its glories let my soul forever dwell." Let's join with Jesus, giving thanks for sovereign grace. And then secondly, Jesus gave thanks for the gracious provision of the Father. If we turn to John chapter 6 and verse 11, the chapter that we read together this morning, and there we read of the Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks. John chapter 6, verse 11. "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would like." Now here we see the Lord Jesus giving thanks for the gracious provision of the Father. Now, we know from the other Gospels that our Lord Jesus had recently been told of the beheading of John the Baptist, and he was undoubtedly extremely sad about this event. Nevertheless, he'd spent all day teaching the multitude, despite his exhaustion in the evening, he refuses to accept the disciples' instructions to send the congregation away without any food. No, as the Good Shepherd, he cared for them providentially and spiritually. He led the way in showing that the gospel actually does include spiritual and practical care, that the practical care is an outworking of love for sinners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he also led the way in even organizing the practical arrangements. Oh, what we were engaged with yesterday evening in the Harvest Supper and showing care for people in a practical way as well as a spiritual way. That's all part of our ministry. It's all part of showing our care for in the community. The Lord Jesus put order into the proceedings. There was an order about it. It was prepared. He prepared the people to sit down in rows. He had them all organized. It wasn't a big disorganized array. No, he had them sitting down properly, and he had the disciples to serve them out methodically. He led the way in ensuring that no one was left out. And he led the way, ensuring that nothing was wasted, no one went without, and he showed that order does matter in dispensing the providential provision of God. But the point I want to make this morning is that before the meal, according to the accounts also given in the other Gospels, Jesus stood in front of the multitude And he took the bread and the fish, and he looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks to his Father in heaven. Looking up to heaven, we read, he blessed and broke the bread. And this is an example to us of how important it is to give thanks to God for our food. Here we have the Son of God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. As a perfect man, giving thanks unto his Father in heaven for such a gracious provision. What was the visible object of his perfect thanksgiving? It was 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. One of my friends years ago once said to me, he reckoned that anything more than a Mars bar, you must give thanks, say grace for your meal, if it's bigger than a Mars bar. Well, here's our Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks to his Heavenly Father for 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, there's something obviously very marked and significant about the manner in which the Lord Jesus gave thanks. If we turn on to verse 23, we will see that the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus gets a special mention. In verse 23 of chapter 6, "Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks." Now there must have been something very significant, friends, about the way the Lord Jesus showed the importance of giving thanks to our Father for our food. Now, the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus to his Heavenly Father was made in faith, because despite the fact that he had in his hands only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, he gave thanks, believing in his Father's sovereign will to provide for all the multitude. This through the divine power working through himself as the Son of God. He gave thanks knowing that the miracle would not only feed the people physically, but God would use that miracle in a deeper way to show a spiritual lesson, a vital lesson. He taught the next day when they wanted to make him their king, wanted him to be nothing more than a political leader and a material breadbasket. And so based upon that miracle of the previous day of feeding the 5,000, Jesus gave his message on the essential subject of himself being the bread of spiritual life. And so we read, didn't we, this morning in verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." So in this second example of Jesus giving thanks to his Father, we see the importance of having the big picture in mind. That is, we worship a God of providence and a God of grace. And God's creation provision to us is such a reminder, a picture of the spiritual blessing which he can give to us. And so when we give thanks for our food, we remind ourselves that, oh, our God in heaven can not only provide physical food, he can provide spiritual food for us through the very person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If God through Christ can provide for 5,000 people, having only at the outset 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, how much more can he provide for us spiritually through the person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So we see here the element of faith in thanksgiving. The Lord Jesus Christ took that bread, he took that those fish, took the bread, he took the fish, and he just lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he showed how much thanksgiving, praying by faith, is important for us. Oh, so we see here 2 examples of thanksgiving. And the first example shows us the importance of praise. The second example of thanksgiving shows us how we must thank in faith, believing that God can provide unto the uttermost in Christ Jesus. We might only be thanking God for our breakfast or our dinner, But it reminds us that, oh, God is a faithful Heavenly Father. He will go on providing for us. But much more than that, He will provide for our souls through the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Creation has such a picture for us. You know, the Lord Jesus said to them about the manna that was falling from the wilderness and feeding such a vast multitude of the children of Israel in the wilderness, where there was barren ground, absolutely impossible for anything to grow, and yet God was feeding them from heaven. It was called manna, and Jesus said, I am that manna. I am the bread of heaven. This is an example of me. Oh, thirdly, Jesus gave thanks for the attentiveness of the Father. We return to John chapter 11 and verse 41. John chapter 11, verse 41. Now, this was the event where Lazarus had died. And Mary and Martha were weeping, very upset. Martha had gone to fetch Jesus. And we read that Jesus wept. Jesus was full of sorrow in John 11, 35. Jesus wept. But then we read in verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Now, the greatest comfort for Jesus while he lived here upon earth was the all-knowing attentiveness of his eternal Father in heaven. Through all the various experiences of our Lord, his Father in heaven continued to look upon his beloved Son with pleasure. Did not the Father cry from heaven after the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus through baptism in the River Jordan? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then later, when the Lord Jesus was transfigured on the mount before the disciples, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, the comfort of the attentiveness of his Father during his life of perfect obedience made the separation from the Father on Calvary's cross at the end of his life one of the most painful aspects of his suffering. The Son of God, made man on Calvary's cross, separated from fellowship, from God the Father, the thing he held most dear for all eternity, to be in union with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But that was denied him on Calvary's cross. And when he took upon himself the burden of our sin, that we might be forgiven, the wrath of God came down upon the Son of God, made man on Calvary's cross. And the experience of suffering, the eternal punishment due for all those that put their trust in him, was so awesome, so awful. The darkness. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, Jesus is giving thanks to his Father here a short while before Calvary, and he is comforted by the knowledge that his Father knows about his grief. He knows about his tears. Do you know, the psalmist said, thou hast hidden all my tears in thy bottle. And it's a great comfort, you know, to those of you who are suffering at this time. You have a bottle, and your tears go in the bottle, and they're in God's remembrance. He knows. There's not a tear falls to the ground or in your heart that's not in your bottle. By that I mean, God knows the tears. They're not wasted tears. His Father is in perfect harmony with the Lord Jesus. He knows the reason behind the tears. Jesus wept. And Jesus was weeping. He was deeply moved as the perfect man, not only about the death of his beloved friend, Lazarus, but because of the curse of sin, because of the curse of death itself. Yet in the midst of the sadness, in the midst of the tears, at the mouth of the tomb, was thanksgiving to his Father. He thanked the Father because he had knowledge of all events. I thank thee that thou hast heard me and that thou hearest me always, for his constant attentiveness. Thanksgiving also in anticipation of the demonstration of the Father's power. All this was going to be for the glory of God. This suffering, this weeping, this these tears, raising again of Lazarus from the dead. It was all going to be for the glory of God. And the Lord Jesus gave thanks. He knew that his personal deity would be verified in the raising of Lazarus. The situation would be gloriously confirmed. Friends, Jesus gave thanks in a time of sorrow because his Father was attentive. He knew that his Father was looking. He knew that his Father knew all things. He knew that his Father heard him. And so it is for you this morning. Your Father can hear you. And the deepest experience that you are going through, and when you can only sigh and only groan, you don't even know how to pray, he hears you. He knows what you're going through. And so on this third example of Jesus giving thanks, we learn that thanksgiving to the Father includes gratitude, that he is all-knowing, that he's all-attentive. The ears of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry 24 hours a day. And that the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, through the person of Christ, has life-giving power to transform that situation for you. To transform the situation, because he is the resurrection and the life, our Lord Jesus Christ. But finally, this morning, we come to our fourth example. And I want to look just briefly at Matthew chapter 26. You please turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. Matthew 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And here we come to the most profound example of the Lord Jesus giving thanks. Now, we know from Scripture that for our Lord to follow his Father's will perfectly meant suffering beyond our ability to comprehend. And moving on to verse 37 of this chapter, we see something of the awesome depth of this experience. In verse 37, we read, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Oh, what love for sinners there. He went a little further. He went a little further into Gethsemane for us, for sinners. And he prayed, "If it were possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. The will of God the Father must be accomplished. He understood. Well, when the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he clearly stated that the bread symbolized his body and the wine symbolized his blood shed for the remission of sins. Therefore, when Jesus gave thanks for the bread and Jesus gave thanks for the wine, he was giving thanks to his Father as he took the bread and broke the bread, and as he took the cup and he looked at that cup, he was giving thanks to his Father in heaven in the knowledge that that cup and that bread symbolized him personally entering into a pathway of suffering that would result in death. It meant Calvary. It meant suffering. And there's something undoubtedly profound in this example, because the faith of the Lord Jesus in his perfect Father's perfect will meant that he could look beyond the suffering to the outcome. Jesus gave thanks knowing that the redemption of all those ordained unto eternal life through Calvary would be accomplished. Redemption would be accomplished. His church would be redeemed through his suffering, through his death, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father, the throne of God. Oh, friends, the joy that was set before him, the joy of redemption, the joy of once again being at the Father's right hand. Oh, but between then, the cup, the Passover, the communion service now instituted, the Lord's Supper, and the joy was Calvary. There was no way around it. And even though it meant Calvary, he took the cup and he gave thanks. That is our Savior. That is our Savior. That's who we adore. That's who we love. That's who we follow. That's who we trust. What a Savior we have. Now, there must have been a very significant way, again, in which the Lord Jesus gave thanks for the bread and for the wine. Because, again, specific attention is given about this matter. In the well-known account of this in 1 Corinthians 11, we know the well-known words, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you eat it, as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this wine, you do show this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." So giving thanks in suffering means that we trust the Lord for what he can accomplish through the suffering. We know that all things do work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew the outcome of the suffering. He saw beyond the suffering to the glory, to the outcome. And so Paul teaches us in that text I've just mentioned to you, in the context of suffering, is to look at the same time to the outcome. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so from the example of Jesus giving thanks, we can learn that thanksgiving to God in times of suffering, God the Father, in times of suffering, means exercising faith to trust that he will ensure the outcome is for his glory and for our spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Well, we have noticed then today four aspects of Jesus giving thanks for our encouragement and example. It's like an evergreen tree, which remains green through all seasons. Jesus constantly gave thanks. Well, following the example of Jesus Christ helps us to follow the exhortation of Paul when he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And Jesus gave thanks for the sovereign grace of the Father, for the gracious provision of the Father, for the attentiveness of the Father, and for the perfect will of the Father who is in complete control. So let us follow the example of the Lord Jesus in our own thanksgiving, in our own lives. Let's turn to our hymn books.